Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Beautiful, beautiful football Friday. Bears are on by. That's a good thing. Give us a break. Give all of your fans a break after your miserable four-game losing streak. Yurk's off. He'll be back on Monday when we return. Meller's sitting in. It's Carmen and Yurko. Greeny's up in an hour. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Black and Abdallah 6 to 7 tonight. And then Mike North and I have a full hour of gambling talk on the odds couple from 7 until 8. We'll have Luke Pergandy from Prop Swap. Jimmy Miller with more horses. He had another nice winner last week that paid $14, so you'll always take those. Thank you, Jim Miller. And we'll have a lot of fun talking about Week 11 in the NFL and some of the big college games. Beautiful day today. Get out and finish the Christmas lights and the decorations and all the yard work. Make sure the home is winterized.
I, on principle, I have this argument with my wife, Carm, every year. I don't like Christmas lights being up before Thanksgiving is over. You're jumping a holiday, my friends.
But Thanksgiving's also for the second straight year, just because the way the calendar falls right now, since Thanksgiving's late again. You know, we don't. It's not till the 26th. I mean, I don't mind. I'm getting them up today. I'm going to finish it this weekend. I got to be honest with you. You
see,
might not like
it. But I don't. I think you need to get yourself a big blow-up turkey and put that out on the lawn
first
for Thanksgiving. And then you can take down the turkey the day after. But, yeah, like, I don't like these people who jump holidays.
We've had such beautiful weather. Do you know, and I'm sure, you know, you've seen it in your neighborhood, and Jeff and I don't live too far apart from one another, actually. I mean, people have really taken advantage. People had Christmas lights up 2 weeks ago because we've had such nice weather.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, get outside, get the decorations up, and crank them up, you know. Look, we were playing Christmas music 3 weeks ago, so we set the tone for everybody, I guess.
I know, but again, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and I like just jumping over it and moving to Christmas before you're a little premature with your Christmas decoration, if you ask me, Carm.
Final check of the web poll real quick, too, from yesterday. Anthony Edwards is most synonymous with ER, Revenge of the Nerds, Top Gun, or the Timberwolves. ER won, Meller, you'll be happy to know. And I get why. I really do. I mean, he's more Revenge of the Nerds, Top Gun. It's just because I'm a little older. And I told you yesterday, I didn't really watch ER that much. I was in college and just getting out of college at the height of its power. And when you're that age, you know, you're not spending your network television.
Yeah, let's be honest. College Thursday night, that's like the best night to go out of the week.
Right.
So absolutely. I understand why you missed it. But for anybody who's a little bit younger than you, Carm, ER was kind of a fixture. And listen, I don't want to denigrate Top Gun and Revenge of the Nerds and Revenge of the Nerds 2. But, you know, when you say synonymous, for me, it's definitely ER.
No, and I think you're right. Anybody that's a little older and younger, for certain, I'm just sort of in that weird area where, like, Friends never really fired for me. ER never really fired for me. But that won the web poll with about 41% of the vote. Top Gun ran second. Revenge of the Nerds got 17%, and only 10% to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Hmm. Let's jump back out to the phones, Midway.
Let's try DJ on the south side. He's got a Bears thought. Hey, DJ.
Hey, morning, guys. Hey, you know, I got a friend who knows George McCaskey a little bit. And in a conversation, you know, a while back, it was echoing what Sylvie was saying. He was like, so, what you got plans? And this was a while back. He said, oh, you know, we got good guys in here. And, you know, Teddy is going to, you know, and right then and there, I knew, that's not who you need to lead this team. You know, and he has to get rid of that guy. He has to get rid of a lot of those. He has to clean house and get people who really know football and understand it to come on and lead that team, because you're going to keep doing what you're doing and hiring the wrong guy because you went to Ernie Accorsi and because you went to another guy who didn't know what was going on, and you're going to keep making mistakes, and we keep falling for it with the if they make the playoffs, we'll be okay. No, that's not going to cut it.
All right, brother, we appreciate the phone call. Phillips needs to do business just like you know what George needs to do, Jeff? He needs to do what Tom Ricketts did. Like, Crane Kenny at one time was making baseball operational decisions for the Chicago Cubs. That's a joke.
Yeah.
No business. Know your lane. And you've got to have an owner that understands how to empower the right people and how to separate business ops and game day ops, or I shouldn't even say that, but your baseball ops, your football ops, your basketball ops, whatever it may be. You have a business guy, and then you have a guy that understands personnel and salary structure and scouting and player development and all that. And until they find the right guy to do it, you're going to probably be stuck in this rut, right? They need to find someone that can truly run the football operations over there. And Ted Phillips should never have any say in football operations. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would agree with you and that assessment there. Again, though, I think you can, if you get the right GM in place, you can probably navigate Ted Phillips being in the organization. The problem is when Ryan Pace is the guy who, you know, gets all excited and falls in love with every single pick that he wants to make and is more than willing to give up draft assets and capital to do so, that's where you continue to get yourself into trouble, because very successful GMs, Carm, are wrong 50% of the time in football. Yeah. And that's okay. The problem is when you convince yourself that you're so right, that you're so smart, that you're not going to be wrong, and because of that, you choose to give up extra assets, and in the process, you have now made the Mitch Trubisky decision that much worse because you've given up draft picks for a guy who's a bust. That's where the real problem comes in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's try Tom in Oak Lawn. Hey, Tom, you're on with Carm Yerk, Meller in for Yerk.
First of all, Carm, I know Anthony Edwards from Top Gun and Revenge of the Nerds more than I do from ER. So, and Meller, I'm probably going to need your help later on, because my brother and I are going up against Black and Abdallah this week, and we are ravished with injuries. I've never had so many injuries playing fantasy football.
Oh, boy. Tom, give me a call on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. I'm here for fantasy football advice. So every Sunday morning, all right. Give me a call then.
Appreciate it. But on my Bears thought, it seems like, first of all, they always seem to hire these GMs that are always enamored with, well, we got to pick that franchise quarterback because the Bears have never gotten a franchise quarterback right. And then they become stubborn with it, and it's dating all the way back. I could think of the example in 05 with Angelo not picking Aaron Rodgers at 4 because he thought Rex Grossman was the franchise quarterback. So, And another thing, too, and I've met George a couple of times. I met him at the Hall of Fame with my brother and my little guy, and he seems like a really nice guy and everything like that. But what he needs to do is he needs to reach out to, like, the Hunts or Robert Kraft or the Rooneys or any of the successful franchises, and not him and Ted Phillips, just him, and just bounce out ideas off of them and be like, hey, what do you guys do that is successful? What do you guys do that I'm not doing correctly and such? And possibly it'll come to that conclusion where you need a guy that's just a football guy. And keep Ted Phillips doing the business side. Have a guy that's not just a general manager. Have a guy that's like a president of football operations. And maybe they even might even have names of people that they might even be able to give to them. It's not a sign of weakness to reach out to these different franchises to bounce off ideas to see what they can do to improve as a franchise. So
somebody suggested that last hour, too. Thanks, Tom. But I don't know that the other teams are in a rush to share their secrets. I'll be honest. Now, a lot of times that's why you want to interview candidates. You want to find out what other organizations do. That's why you interview candidates. That's why, like, I'd never understood the Bulls not interviewing coaches. Just, oh, no, we know Jim. We know it's Fred Hoiberg. We know it's Jim Boylan. You should at the very least be interviewing so that you get ideas about what other organizations are doing. All right, it's called intel. And by the way, it was Cedric Benson that they drafted, not Rex. Rex Grossman was a little bit older than those guys. When the Bears drafted Ced Benson 4th overall, that's the year that Aaron Rodgers went 24th to the Green Bay Packers.
I love the idea. Hey, Target, Walmart here.
Yeah.
Where our store's not running as efficiently as we'd like. What do you guys do over there? Give us some help here, because we're a direct competitor with you, and we need some advice.
Right.
Let's try another Tom, Carm. Tom is on the north side.
Toms are wild today, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toms are wild and Toms are going crazy.
Big with the Toms.
What's up, buddy?
The bottom line is, got to draft a quarterback. go up and get that Florida quarterback Trask.
Kyle Trask?
The rest of the draft should be offensive linemen and nobody else. Whether it's free or offensive linemen.
Tom. That'd be the bad way. I want Tom to be the GM. Just that's it. I'm going to go up. I'm going to get a quarterback and then just draft O-lineman for the rest of the draft. I love it.
There you go. That'll fix everything.
Drastic times, drastic measures, right?
Hey, the defense looks set. You know, if you could just get some type of competent offense, you never know. Hey, we have.
They do need another pass rusher, though. I mean, you could always use those. Let's face it, the Robert Quinn thing.
I was going to say somebody like Robert Quinn to alongside Khalil Mack.
Ted Monachino, the linebackers coach, is even says, "Hey, how about make a play?" I mean, he said that the other day.
I know.
He's like, what do you need to see from Robert Quinn? How about a play? Just one. This is the linebackers coach. Just make one play, please.
Yeah, just one. That'd be good. John is in Highland Park. He has a story. It looks like about Anthony Edwards, Carm.
Oh,
hey, Carm. So. The first year of ER, when it was a huge hit, my wife and I went to Steppenwolf to see a play, and George Clooney and Anthony Edwards sat in the same row with us.
Come on.
So the play had two intermissions. The first intermission, George and Anthony race out because they're afraid they're going to be mobbed. Not one person tried to talk to them. Second intermission, they just sat there. Not one person tried to talk to them because the Steppenwolf crowd is just too cool for school.
I was just going to say, John, I love that.
Clooney today, though?
Because the overlap, the Venn diagram of Steppenwolf patrons and ER enthusiasts is probably not as verbose as you would think. I love that.
There are probably not as many in both categories. Yeah, but that's a great story. And now, let's face it, if George Clooney were to go to Steppenwolf, he'd be mobbed.
I would think so. You never know who he might just hand out $1 million to you. You never know if you get to be good friends.
He's got the money.
Eric is in the South Loop. Eric, you're on with Carmen and Yurko. Meller in for Yurk.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing? I love you guys. Listen to you guys almost every morning when I am not working 16 hours.
Oh,
but here's the thing. How in the world is Sweaty Teddy still with the Bears for 20 years? You guys the Bears fans, we have gone through 5 head coaches, 2 GMs, and we're on the verge of losing these guys. And they're just getting it all wrong. I mean, just to piggyback off what the other caller said about New England, Scott Pioli's still out there. Why not go after him? Or even the bum that they fired from Atlanta, Thomas Dimitroff?
Dimitroff, yeah.
The bum. You want them to go get the bum,
Atlanta?
Eric.
I could probably.
They're better. I mean, Scott, from what his time he did in Atlanta, and I mean Thomas, and then Scott Pioli. I mean, he's still out there. Why not just give him?
Where is Scott Pioli
final
these days?
Say?
Actually, I don't know. Is Scott Pioli in the league right now?
I think he's working for a Sirius XM.
Is that right, Merck?
I don't think he's in the league anymore.
Yeah, I think Merck's right. Now I feel like. I'll have to remember that, but I feel like it kind of ended poorly for Scott Pioli, like pretty bad.
He was in Kansas City, right? And then there was a lot of, you're right, Jeff. There was some stuff out there about him, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember all the details, but I don't think.
He might have been in Kansas City during that tragedy with the kid, remember?
Thomas Belcher?
Was it Thomas Belcher or I can't remember, but Belcher. Javon Belcher, that sounds right, doesn't it?
Sorry,
I don't know, but he might have been there for all that. I don't know that it ended well either. I don't know. You don't have to retread Scott Pioli, if you ask me. You can still do your job and find your Brett Veach. I mean, find one of those guys. Why can't they do that? Or I mean, look, like Meller has said, they had Ballard in the building. They decided to go a different direction. Ballard knew the organization. He knew Cutler. He said, we're not going to keep him, and that wasn't good enough for the Bears. So, okay, now you lost Chris Ballard, who's done a nice job in Indy. I mean, they just don't have the sustained success that, tells you they're doing it right or that they know what they're doing. They just, and I hate to always be calling for change, because the good franchises don't have to do that, but they're not good. They change all the time because they're not good. You wish they would finally find the right people that can run this thing so that we're not always talking about change. But when you look, the Bears have been to the playoffs in back-to-back years once this century, folks, and that was 2005 and 2006. You know, they're going to have one playoff appearance. They might luck their way into another one this year, but they've got one playoff appearance in the last decade. You can't do that when you're the Chicago Bears, when you're the charter franchise. Not when the Steelers have the kind of success they have year in and year out. Or the Packers. Or, if the Packers don't go to the NFC title game, it's a terrible season, let alone miss the playoffs, right? I mean, or the Patriots. I mean, you can't do it. You can't go once in 10 years. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And they might back their way in this year. And so, and will please people stop on Twitter with the, how do you guys see them winning three more games? Just stop it. Stop the nonsense.
How? I mean,
come on.
The Jaguars, that's a layup. The Texans are 2-7 with no hope. I mean, those are two games they should win.
They lucked their way into five. Could they luck their way into two or three more? This is the NFL we're talking about here. People, stop with the how are they going to win three more games. No, nobody here is singing the Bears' praises. We're doing quite the opposite. Yeah. Enough with the how are they going to win three more games.
How did they win five?
How'd they win five? Come on, get real.
And it was Jovan Belcher.
Jovan Belcher, there you go. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, Meller. By the way, one of our teammates called you a nasty name yesterday.
Yeah, he called me a word that apparently we can't say on the radio. So, and I'm going to tell you why he did so.
Blank off.
What?
Blank a doodle do. Blank a doodle do.
Jerk chicken.
Blank willow, Merc. We will tell you who called Jeff Meller this awful name coming up next. Blank a doodle do.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. Yeah.
Football Friday. Yurk's off today. He's back on Monday. Jeff Meller's sitting in. It's Carmen and Yurko until noon. Then Greeny takes over. Waddle and Sylvie up at 2. Get you through the rest of the week here on this Friday. Bleck and Abdallah tonight for an hour, 6 to 7. And then Mike North and I have Odds Couple 7 until 8. Mike joins us in about 30 with his bonus play. Out to Vegas in 15, 20 minutes, we will talk to our man Todd Furman. So who called you such nasty names?
Yeah, so yesterday morning I was called a blank off by one
Willow.
Mark Sylvie Silverman.
Sylvie Silverman? Really?
Yes, Mark Sylvie Silverman, as I like to call him. Sylvie texted me yesterday morning at 7:48 a.m.
Okay.
I am the commissioner of the ESPN Chicago Office Fantasy League.
All right.
So 7:48 in the morning yesterday, I receive a text from Mark Sylvie Silverman. Has our trade deadline passed in our league? Now, Carm, how do you, I know you're, you know, you are begrudgingly play fantasy football
yes,
these days, but
I do.
How do you generally navigate your fantasy football on a daily basis?
Well, if I had a question about the deadline, I would just go to the team page in the rules section.
But just how do you, if you're accessing your fantasy team in a general basis these days, how do you do so?
Online on my computer.
So you still use your computer?
I do.
You're old-fashioned. You don't even go with the app.
No, I use. See, is that weird? I use my computer.
You are definitely an old man when it comes to fantasy football. Most folks these days they use the fantasy app because it's on your smartphone.
Well,
it's much easier.
I do have the ESPN
yes.
fantasy app. I don't have. Does CBS Sportsline have one? CBS Sports have one?
They both do. Yeah.
Okay, like, that I never use, but I still mostly set my lineup and like add drop players
with the website, the old fashioned league website. You're stuck in like 2005, my man.
Do you still pay for AOL? Okay, funny. Listen, look who's talking over there, Mister. You're like 110. All right. I am a little older. I mean, I'm almost 44, so maybe that's why I still do it on the computer. Yeah.
Do you still record Bears games on your VCR, Carm?
No, that I don't.
All right,
do.
So that's good to hear. But most people these days access their fantasy team on their phone because you've always got your phone with you.
All right.
And I will say this, Carm. You're playing fantasy, but you're doing so begrudgingly.
I hate fantasy
because
football.
You do. You truly do.
Yes.
So most folks access their fantasy team via the app.
Okay.
It's just easier. So. That's fine. Sylvie asked me the question, and so I go to my fantasy app to check. And the one thing about it's great to have the access to your team so easy. You can set your lineup, you know, in a few keystrokes with your thumb. But the problem is that things like settings are it's a little more cumbersome. It's harder to navigate through the website when you need like a little more, you know, more details about your league. So I was going to have to go to check the trade deadline. I was going to have to go to the league website. If I wanted to get the exact date of when it was at. So, you know what I decided to do? I said, you know what I can do? with the app, I can just easily propose a trade, and it'll tell me if the league, the trade deadline has expired. I'll know that, you know, it won't allow me to do so. I won't be able to propose the trade. So I just recently this week picked up Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm. Who's smart.
Going to be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints this week. In ESPN Fantasy Leagues, ESPN only, for whatever reason, I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it was a prudent decision, but ESPN Fantasy chose to deem Taysom Hill as both a tight end and quarterback at the beginning of the season.
Wow.
So now he has tight end eligibility, and he's going to be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints this week. This is a huge advantage. Nevertheless, we did not know that he was going to be the starting quarterback yesterday. That news did not come down till this morning.
Right.
So, just to find out if the trade deadline was still had passed or not, I decided I'm going to propose a trade to Sylvie and see if, you know, just kind of like a throwaway trade.
Sure.
So I hit propose trade, and I click on Aaron Rodgers on Sylvie's team, and then I go to my roster, and I click on Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill.
So I propose Taysom Hill for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, which Sylvie would never do, obviously.
But 10 minutes later, so I answer Sylvie's question. I go, yeah, it has not. The trade deadline has not passed yet.
Okay.
And so just as a, you know, just kind of like a tongue-in-cheek joking around, I leave the trade up there. 10 minutes later, I get the text from Sylvie. You blank off. Because why? Because I answered your question by simply saying, hey, Taysom Hill for Aaron Rodgers. Clearly, I didn't expect him to accept the trade. Nevertheless, no need for name calling here, right? Like, who now today?
It is kind of funny, though. I got to be honest,
right? It was my way of answering his question. Is, hey, by the way, yeah, you could still make a trade if you want. You can have Taysom Hill for Aaron Rodgers. That was my way of saying yes. Trades are still allowed in the league.
I might have texted you the same thing. I'm not going to lie. I could see. I think
bunch
I might have went
off. Bunch of nasty name callers in this station here, boy.
I love it.
Nevertheless, that sure enough, so here's the thing, though. I know that Sylvie is in the market for trading one of his quarterbacks because all year long he has both Aaron Rodgers and Kyler Murray. And so I know that he's been, you know, dealing with the dilemma of who do I start each and every week and probably half the time picking the wrong guy. So because of that, he wants to get rid of the problem, the headache, and he wants to, you know, add some, you know, some, he wants to boost some position elsewhere. And so I was going to give him the, sure enough, today, Taysom Hill, I'm not sure I would trade Taysom Hill straight up for Aaron Rodgers because.
Yes, you would. If,
you're a blank off.
I'm telling you something, Sylvie, and thank you, JR. I'm telling you. Taysom Hill, if he actually plays quarterback for like a significant portion of games now, and like it just is like, I don't know, Alex Smith level competent, he will be a huge advantage at the tight end position because he's going to rack up the points.
So you're going to put him in your tight end slot.
He's already starting for my team. I have Pat Mahomes, and I'm also starting
Taysom.
And
put him in your slot, and anything down near the goal line, if he's, you know, they're using them like the way they normally use him, it could become very valuable.
Dude, even if he throws for like, you know.
Well, he's still getting 4 points.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The extreme difference between quarterback scoring and, you know, every other position
end.
In
yeah.
most leagues, quarterbacks, even if they're bad, are going to get you 10 to 12 points. And unless you're Travis Kelce, there's not too many tight ends out there who you can count on for that type of production.
So
anyway,
those stats count because he's technically a tight end? Like his passing yards are going to count towards your statistics?
This year alone. Look, ESPN
wow.
Fantasy is, it's, the, I don't know why they chose to make him a tight end eligible player.
That's
that was kind of silly on their part. And they're actually, I saw that both Field Yates, maybe Matthew Berry, Mike Clay, they've all tweeted out because now this is a huge controversy in the fantasy leagues.
Oh,
if you play on ESPN, all of a sudden Taysom Hill, a starting quarterback, you can slot him in at your tight end. It's a huge advantage. And if you're playing in a serious league, a lot of folks are not happy about that.
That's pretty crazy. I didn't realize that this was happening. And now he still might. Is he going to still split some time to a degree with Jameis?
No. Well, that's the thing. Is Ian Rappaport and I believe Adam Schefter. They tweeted this morning. There's no plan for Jameis Winston. There's no like Jameis Winston package. Taysom Hill.
Wow.
Look, remember they gave him a big deal. Like a lot of people scratched their head. Yes. And I don't imagine that they're going to be throwing the ball like they normally do. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Saints run an offense that's a little bit more similar to what we've seen from the Ravens the last couple of years.
Wow.
Like where Taysom Hill, and think about it, that's going to be tough. Taysom Hill, you've got Kamara in the backfield. You can utilize Latavius Murray. And then you never know. Off of those, you can run some options where Michael Thomas is a threat. It's going to be interesting to watch. That's the game I'm really curious about on Sunday, Falcons and Saints, because I want to see what Taysom Hill can actually do as the starting quarterback. Oh, and he's my starting tight end in fantasy.
And he's your starting tight end. Boy, there's some major controversy brewing in fantasy. Falcons, by the way, coming off a bye. They've got I think they're three and one under Raheem Morris. They really should be 4-0. If Todd Gurley doesn't brain fart, they're 4-0 under Morris since the coaching change. That should be a good game this weekend. I kind of like the Falcons getting the points there.
So who's the bleep off now, Sylvie?
You're both bleep offs. How's that? When we come back, our guy Todd Furman, he is live in Las Vegas. He'll give us the latest betting trends. He'll talk about Week 11 with us coming up next.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
This time each and every Friday, we talk to our buddy Todd Furman live in Vegas at Todd Furman on Twitter, the Bet the Board podcast. See him on Fox Sports and on CBS Sports. And he joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. Yurk's actually off today. He'll be back Monday. Midway Jeff Meller is sitting in. Todd, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well this morning, gentlemen. How are things?
We're doing well. The Bears are on bye, so that's good. We need a break from them, quite frankly, Todd.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be able to go through enduring what we saw offensively from the Bears on Monday if you guys had to do it on a short week. So maybe they're able to wave the magic wand. Suddenly Jim McMahon decides to come charging through there, and you guys can develop some semblance of a vertical passing game.
Maybe a left-handed Jim McMahon.
A left-handed Jim McMahon, yes. Are we looking at, about a touchdown underdog for Week 12, the Sunday night game next weekend in Green Bay?
You know, it's going to be so interesting to see what we get out of the Packers this weekend when they take on the Indianapolis Colts. As we know all too well, public perception plays a major role. But right now, I expect Green Bay to be a 7.5-point favorite in that particular spot against the Bears. Not quite sure that offense will come out firing on all cylinders, but you do get the Green Bay Packers when you want them off what should be a big game for them against the Indianapolis Colts. And the Bears, you would think, would be a little bit more imaginative on the offensive side. So I could see making a case for them as it stands now, catching over a touchdown.
So how about the Packers catching two this weekend at Indy? Why don't we handicap that game a little bit?
You know, this is a game that I have my eye on, trying to figure out exactly who may or may not be available for Green Bay. Of course, the key contributor on the offensive side is Davante Adams that we're keeping tabs on. Missed practice yesterday. Haven't seen a full practice report today. It does appear the Packers will be healthier defensively, though, than they've been over the last couple weeks. Jaire Alexander and Kevin King both expected to be out there. But this is a Colts side that I've probably been higher on than most folks all season long. When you look at Indianapolis, so many people talk about Phillip Rivers, Father Time, whatever you want to say, but the reality of it is he struggled in two games this season against the Bears defense, which is very good, and also against the Baltimore Ravens when they were pretty healthy. Against everybody else, he's exceeded expectations. They got Nyheim Hines involved, a little bit of extra time to prepare. For me in this particular spot, because I don't really think much of Green Bay defensively, I think Indianapolis is going to have a ton of success moving the ball.
Todd, with the reports of Taysom Hill being the focal point under center for the Saints and not Jameis Winston, do you expect any movement, or is it the line set with the expectation that Taysom Hill was always going to take the majority of the snaps?
It's pretty interesting because Sean Payton clearly loves Taysom Hill, but the betting markets don't feel the exact same way. So this number opened with New Orleans about a touchdown favorite early on in the week. Then once everyone knew that Drew Brees was going to be out, number ticked down to 5.5, sat in that 5.5-5 range. Yesterday, you saw a wave of money come in on the underdog, and this morning with the announcement, that price is all the way down to 3.5. I'm not quite sure why Sean Payton is electing to go with Taysom Hill in this spot. Jameis Winston's had some success against the Falcons in the past, and when you look at Atlanta, how they performed out of the bye last week defending New Orleans with Drew Brees, they were outstanding. I can see making a case for Atlanta in this spot. You're just not stealing anything with them only 3.5-point dogs now.
Todd Furman is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko. Todd joins us live in Vegas each and every Friday. And you can follow his podcast, the Bet the Board podcast, and follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. How about the Patriots finally kind of righting the ship here a little bit? The last couple played a really ugly, sloppy game, but got the job done in the rain against Baltimore. Now they go on the road, and Belichick and Crennel get to meet up once again, and they are a small favorite. This is a good time to maybe buy low here and catch a couple points at home with the Houston Texans.
This is the kind of game that I've made the mistake in the past of going, well, all the line value is on the home underdog here, because New England would have been a 2.5-point road underdog in this particular spot had we not seen them go out there and kind of have a breakthrough performance against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football. Fast forward to now, Houston's offense a little bit suppressed by the weather they had to deal with in Cleveland. But the issue I have here is just the coaching mismatch is too hard for me to ignore, expecting Houston to be buttoned up, do the little things that are going to be required in a game that's essentially a coin flip in the eyes of odds makers. New England should have plenty of success running the football against the Houston run defense, giving up nearly 170 yards per game. And even with the general public gravitating towards New England here, I want no part of backing Houston. Maybe if you wanted to play the Texans in some way, shape, or form, you tease them up to get them through a touchdown. But 2.5 just doesn't give me enough comfort to try and back Romeo Crennel, given what I've seen from the Texans over the last couple games.
Todd, we've got a couple of fun games in the primetime islands. Sunday night, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs heading to Vegas, where you hail from, taking on the Raiders. And, of course, on Monday night, there's the Rams and Bucks. Does either game catch your eye more than the other?
Well, the Chiefs-Raiders game is interesting for all the wrong reasons, but it is 2020, so when a defense can't practice for the entire week and the Chiefs are coming to town, probably not the recipe for success. And Raiders defensive coordinator Paul Gunther had some pretty strong comments that said this is going to be more challenging for the Vegas Raiders than when they missed their entire offensive line the week against the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Chiefs playing with a little bit of added motivation. They lost to the Raiders earlier this year. And when you look at Kansas City, they've been dynamite, 14-3 against the number the last 17 against AFC West opponents. But because I think this Raiders offense is still slightly undervalued, the angle that I would take here is actually betting the Chiefs team total over 33. I want the strongest unit of the Chiefs matched up against the weakest unit for the Raiders. And in a game I think ultimately becomes a track meet, I'll take Kansas City to jump out to an early lead and think they can coast over that 33 number.
I like that. Of course, you know, there's a huge game in the shoe this weekend. It's always huge when Ohio State and Indiana get together inside the top 10, right, Todd? It's a top 10 matchup.
I think it's been about 40 or 50 years since we've seen these two teams match up as top 10 foes.
I think you're right. And Ohio, the Buckeyes are still laying about 3 touchdowns. Look, Indiana does a few things really well. They take the football away. That always bodes well. I mean, Penix is, if you just look at the track record going back to last year.
Right?
I said Penix, yes.
Thank you.
He's been very, very good. I mean, can Indiana hang and keep it within 3 touchdowns this weekend?
Hey, let me backpedal, by the way, guys. This is the first time these two teams have met as members of the top 10 in over 100 years. So
there you go.
50 years, I sold it a bit short as I pull up my notes here. But Indiana has had Ohio State's number where it matters most. They've gone 7-2 against the spread in the last 9 meetings. When you look at last year's game, the Ohio State closed as a 17-point favorite, ultimately won that contest by 41. The last time these two teams have played a game that was decided by less than 21 points, October 3rd, 2015. When I look at Indiana, there's no doubt that this passing attack should scare Ohio State's secondary that hasn't really found its footing in that particular grouping. Sean Wade and Seven Banks haven't risen to the occasion yet. Wop Fillier could have a big day alongside Peyton Hendershot and Ty Freifogel, but I'm not sure Indiana gets stops. And when I look at this game, assuming that the weather holds up, I think going over 66 makes a ton of sense. Ooh. Because Ohio State's going to get their points, and I do think Indiana has a little bit of firepower. Slight lean towards the Buckeyes here, but feel much more comfortable going over.
So I guess then we can infer then that every time there's a pandemic, you can go ahead and set your watch to
right.
a top 10 showdown between Ohio State and Indiana.
You know what? It sounds about right. And an interesting note there, last year when Washington started their season against Oregon State because their first game was postponed, it was the first time since 1918. So apparently these are the pandemic rivalries that we have to talk about. Washington against Oregon State and Ohio State Indiana, you can set your clock by it every 100 years.
Every 100 years.
Top 10.
I just hope the next one is definitely 100 years
yeah,
away.
Right?
I can't handle this again.
If this is the last one we live to see, that's fine with me.
Please.
Okay, Todd, Wisconsin, Northwestern, locally,
yes.
The Cats are 4-0, but I don't know if they've really beat anybody of significance here. Meanwhile, Wisconsin has dealt with their own COVID issues, but they're 10th in the nation. How do you see that one unfolding?
Well, this is where I botched the stat here, guys. This is the first top 20 matchup between these two teams since 1962. So that's happened a little bit more recently. And when you look at Northwestern, they've actually been very good against the Badgers playing at home. They've won 5 out of the last 6 meetings in Evanston if we go back to 2003, despite the fact the Badgers have actually been pretty good road favorites, 5-2 against the number the last 7 on the highway. Interesting note here about these two defenses. They're two of the best in the country when it comes to how they perform in the second half. Wisconsin surrendering an average of 5.5 points per game through their first two contests. Northwestern's given up a grand total of 10 points in the second half so far this season. When you look at the total, I think under makes an awful lot of sense at 44. This Northwestern offense that we raved about because of their performance against Maryland, well, it's rinse and repeat for what we've seen the last 3 games. Offensive outputs of 292 yards, 317, and 273. When I look at their backfield of Drake Anderson and Isaiah Bowser, I think this is more of a plotting ground attack than anything else. The way Northwestern has to win and cover here is keeping this game in the teens. I'm still not sure that Graham Mertz is ready yet to raise his level of play, but my slight lean is towards Wisconsin. I actually like the game under the total more.
All right, real quick, Merck says he's got a Twitch question for Todd. Go ahead, Merck.
Todd, by the way, all those stats you gave about Wisconsin, Northwestern do not include future Heisman Trophy winner Graham Mertz. So just adding that.
No, they do not. But Graham Mertz also cannot play the Fighting Illini 10 games throughout the regular season to pad his passing numbers like he did in the season opener.
He played Michigan last week, buddy. All right, here we go.
Yeah, listen, Merck,
and
you're the one.
For 143 yards against the Wolverines. That doesn't win the Heisman in 2020, Mike.
Thank you, Merck. And you're the one who even agrees with Todd because you even told all of us.
He
said the Badgers never win. Merkin's a Badger. He said they never win in Evanston.
And they don't.
You're going to get smoked this weekend, Merkin.
All right, this is from Glazed Donuts. Glazed Donuts on Twitch. He wants to know, ask Todd Furman, is it worth grabbing Shevchenko at -200 to win by stoppage for UFC 255?
You know what's funny about it? Because Yurk has asked me questions about everything under the sun for over all these years. And the one sport that I'll openly admit that I don't delve into on a regular basis is the UFC. Just haven't felt comfortable in terms of trusting some of the information that I have at my disposal. So this will be the first time, Carm, you can mark it down that I'm actually going to abstain from even making a suggestion because I don't want to steer your listeners and viewers in the wrong direction.
I love it. So you got to be honest. All right, what are some of the best plays for the weekend then?
So the college card has been tricky just because I'm always concerned about giving something out today where we see COVID implications and things drastically changing. So my closest leans here would have been Pittsburgh +3.5 against Virginia Tech and Iowa State -10.5. But we'll go to the NFL where I feel a little bit more comfortable. And we'll start with an Eagles team that I think is desperate in this spot. No Myles Garrett for the Cleveland Browns. Could have grabbed 3.5 yesterday, so hopefully listeners tuned into the Bet the Board podcast when we gave that out. But I still think it's 3, and even on the money line, this is where the Eagles have to show that they're not cashing in their season. I think the Browns overvalued by the strength of a couple weather performances. And we didn't talk about the Monday night game. I think Tampa makes a statement on Monday night. Last time we saw them against New Orleans in primetime, they were overwhelmed. But this is a Rams team that we've seen a number of times this year. When they step up in class against good defenses, they're not nearly is dynamic. I think the Bucs' offensive line adjustments will pay dividends here. Jared Goff, without his left tackle and Andrew Whitworth, could be a big problem against this Bucs' defensive front. This number is 4 for a reason, gentlemen. I think the public's going to gravitate towards the Rams. I think the Bucs win this game going away. I like Tampa to win this game by north of a touchdown.
Hold on, Carm. Before you spring Todd, he can't get away without an EPL play. Just because Yerk's not here doesn't mean that Meller doesn't love his EPL
That's
action.
True. Meller loves the EPL.
We've got Tottenham, Man City on Saturday, or you've got Liverpool and Leicester on Sunday. Which one do you like, Todd?
You know, it's always interesting to see how these teams, whether it's the EPL, the Bundesliga, or anywhere else, return from international break. So it's buyer beware in these kind of spots. But you mentioned the Liverpool game against Leicester taking place on Sunday. I think that's a game that we could see a lot of goals. The headlines will be that Mo Salah is still quarantined in his native Egypt, but I think there's plenty of opportunity for these two teams to do some damage. So I'll go over 3 in the big game on Sunday.
Todd, have a great weekend, and we'll try to catch up early next week before the holiday, okay?
Always a pleasure, guys. You guys do the same, and good luck with all your picks this weekend.
See you, buddy. There's Todd Furman, at Todd Furman on Twitter, and the Bet the Board podcast. Make sure you check it out. Mike North has his bonus play for us when we come back next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Peace up. A-Town. Yeah. Okay.
Luckily, my partner has been smoking hot lately on the Odds Couple. Mike North was great again last week. I had one bad pick and one bad beat, although in the bad beat, it was the obvious right decision. There is no way the Cardinals should have lined up and tried to kick that extra point because only catastrophe is the only thing that could happen that would have cost them that game. So when they kneeled on it up two, trying to cover 2.5 point spread, I kind of sensed it was coming after the touchdown. I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to go well. I'm not going to get the point I need. So that was a little bit of a bad beat, but hey, it is what it is. I will try to bounce back after two rough weeks. But Mike has been great. We will have the Odds Couple tonight from 7 until 8 here on ESPN 1000. But Jeff, Mike joins us now for the bonus play on the Carmen and Yurko Show. Mikey, what's up, buddy?
You don't have to explain nothing. A bad couple weeks for you is being 1 or 2 under 500. How would you like to have had my start, folks, at the beginning of the year where I was looking at Carmen and saying, you know, will I ever win a game? But, you know, things have completely turned around.
Yes.
Two Saturdays ago, Carmen, I win. I go 0-2, but then I win 3 in a row that Sunday, 3 in a row last Saturday, 3 in a row on Sunday, and then I cap it off picking Minnesota on Monday only because the Bears were playing their second-string quarterback and because the ex-offensive coordinator for the Bengals was calling the plays for the Bears. Sometimes it's just too easy. In the Steeler game on Sunday I took because it was windy and I figured it's 15 to 20 mile an hour winds. Roethlisberger knows how to play in the wind like that. The young guy Burrows, a little bit younger. Sometimes it's just a little thing like the wind, but that's the common denominator sometimes. If it's windy, it's a tough game for younger guys. Rain don't get in their way. Snow don't get in their way, but wind does. So we're having a good run. We're hotter than Procter & Gamble.
Absolutely.
Right now. I listed some stocks. You know,
so what are we like for this weekend, Mike?
Well, it's a game that everybody's going to be riveted to, and Randy wanted to know. Randy Merkin, please tell me now so I can get a jump on it. I said, no, Randy, I'm going to surprise you. It's Cal against Oregon State at 2:30. Two teams that haven't won a game yet. Hopefully Cal could put the players could put the bongs down long enough where they can cover the 3 points in that ball game. But I know nothing about them. I do know Oregon State's in Oregon. I know that Cal's in Berkeley. I know that Joe Capp went there, former Minnesota Viking quarterback back in the day. But that is the pick, Cal -3. I fed it in with the rest of the games. And that was the number one game that came up. There's not a whole lot out there. My original game was Fresno State versus San Jose State. I was going to pound Fresno State, and then I find out they got COVID. And they called the game off.
Yep, they got COVIDed, yes. All right, so Cal -3, that's it. We've got more plays for you tonight. Don't miss it. Odds Couple 7 to 8. Mikey, I'll see you then.
All right, hey, Jeff, take care. Take care, guys.
Good to hear from you, Northy.
See you, Mike. There's right, Mike buddy. North at North to North on Twitter, Cal -3.
Colin, we've got exciting news here at the station.
Uh-oh. We do.
We have a new member of the ESPN 1000 family.
We do indeed.
Eric Ostrowski. Last night, his lovely wife, Madison, had a baby girl.
Baby girl, all right.
Ivan Yurkovich Ostrowski.
You wish.
Olive Rose was born 5 pounds, 9 ounces. Congratulations.
Awesome. And that's a couple weeks early because I know they was originally early December was the target date. So congrats to Eric and Madison. That's awesome.
I was talking to him off air a couple of weeks ago. And he was mentioning that he was going to name her after his favorite restaurant, Carm. So
Olive Garden.
Good to hear.
Yes. Go ahead.
Olive Rose. We welcome
I like
her.
That name, Olive. I like that. I don't like the Olive Garden, but I like that name. That's for sure. Did you guys see this? A couple things, and we're going to wrap up quick. I saw Ravel tweet this. You know, I lament all the time. Like, why is my baseball card collection worth bupkis? I thought it was going to pay for my kids' college. It's worth nothing. Ravel from the Action Network. Did you guys see this? Pokemon first edition base set sealed booster box set sells at auction for $360,000. In 1999, it cost $80. 20 years later, $360,000. I quote tweeted my Griffey Upper Deck 89 card is worth $145. I'm shaking my head. I don't get it. My son likes the Pokemon stuff. Not as much anymore. He's kind of moving on through that phase. He was into it like a year and a half ago, probably, collecting these Pokemon cards and these box sets.
I've got a house full of Pokemon
full of
cards
them, right?
And binders somewhere.
Should we save those? I mean, should I start collecting his binders?
I don't think so because you've already opened the box.
Yeah,
so it's lost all its value.
They're all open. How are Pokemon cards selling for $360K and baseball box sets are worth nothing?
Got to catch them all, Carm.
Got to catch them all. I don't even get Pokemon. I don't understand it.
I mean,
I don't understand the back of when.
Well, is this a surprise? A man who's still checking his fantasy football team on the website? That doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, you really made Pokemon. Me feel old.
Oh, you know
that,
what?
Man?
You know what? I just I did notice really quickly because we're up
what?
Against it here. Animaniacs coming back. Did
Come
you,
on, is it?
Animaniacs are streaming now on Hulu. New episodes
today. Yep.
I am psyched. I love that cartoon.
Streaming new episodes?
New
is that
episodes.
Right?
They've
Pinky
got
Pinky in the Brain?
Pinky in the Brain. You and Yurko have a whiskey out there, right? If
yes,
I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we do. We have a bourbon
new
out there.
New episodes on Hulu. Animaniacs. Check it out. That's something we can watch now that we've both gone through the Queen's Gambit, Carmen.
That's pretty. Yeah, Queen's Gambit was so good. Oh, my gosh. All right, Meller, thank you. Fun 2 days. Jeff, we'll see you again on Monday. Yurko will be back Monday. Great job by J.R. Strauss and Randy Merkin, and thanks to Mike North and Todd Furman. Thanks for listening and calling and participating today. Have a good weekend, everybody. Enjoy it without the Bears. We get a respite from the misery. They just want to torture us Bears fans. Greeny is next, then Waddle and Sylvie, Black and Abdallah at 6, and then Mike and I have Odds Couple tonight at 7, so we'll see you then. Have a great weekend.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!